Okay, we're going to go through the Beis HaLevi, where he speaks about anti-Semitism, Golus. He starts with a pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Hei, which we say on Chalamoy Pesach. It speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and it speaks about the whole process of how the Jews got into Egypt and out of Egypt. And it mentions all the chasodim, all the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael when he took them out of Egypt. And then it says, Hofach libam lishno amo lishnakel bavodah, that one of the things that the Rabban Shem did that seems to be part of all these good things is that he turned the Egyptians' hearts to hate his servants. And then he sent Moshe Avdo, Aaron Asher Bocharbo, and then he sent Moshe and Aaron. The Chorus, since this Perek in Tehillim is speaking about all the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, why does it mention that he turned the Egyptians' hearts to hate them? What does that do with the... Why is that considered something good? Secondly, he says that... the Medrash says that when Yosef HaTzadik died, they were made for Bris Milah. And they said, let's be like the Egyptians. And that's why, when they left Egypt, they needed Bris Milah. One of the things that they did was have Bris Milah, and that was the blood they put on the doorpost, the blood from the Korban Pesach, and the blood from the Milah. And it says, B'domayichai, with your double bloods, that's what you were going to live with. So, if that's the case, that that's what it says by Yofir, the pasuk right before that says that they were made for Bris Milah. So he says, if that's the case, then when the Egyptians hated them, they no longer were his servants. How can you call the Jewish people servants of Hashem if they were mavakeh Bris Milah? They're no longer servants of Hashem. They're it's the only mitzvah they had besides Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. They totally abrogated the whole bris with the Rabbanu Shalom, so how could they be called Avodav? That the Rabbanu Shalom, what's it called? Avodav is Mashmat Tzadikim. It's a riot when I'm always Medayik, in a different place. It says, Bizman Sha'osim Ritzono Shalmakom Nikroim Bonim. When Klal Yisrael are doing Ratzon Hashem, they're called children. Bizman Sha'ein Osim Ritzono Shalmakom Nikroim Avodim. So he's medayik, if ain osim ritzono shalmakom means that they're sinning, then they shouldn't be called avodim. They should be called mordim. You see, he says that clearly. That avodav implies that they're doing what God wants them to do. They're doing mitzvahs. Right? Otherwise you wouldn't be called an eved. You may not be on the level of a child, but you're not even on the level of an eved if you're not doing mitzvahs. So, therefore, when it says in Kriya Shema that the parsha v'hoya im shamoa tishmu is talking bizman she'ein osim ritzono shalmakom, it doesn't mean they're not doing mitzvahs. Because bizman she'ein osim ritzono shalmakom, they're called avodim. Must be they're doing mitzvahs. Just not on the highest level. Not the level of osim ritzono shalmakom. So you hear from here, you see clearly a riot to what I usually say. That if it's called avodim, it means that they're doing mitzvahs. So how's that shayach? Here it says they were made for Bris Milah, and the Rabban Shem turned the heart of the Egyptians to hate them because of that, and it calls the Jewish people servants of Hashem. If they're mavakel Bris Milah, how are they servants of the Rabban Shem? He says, beyond that, how could it be that this generation, the generation of the Shvatim, right, one generation after the Shvatim, because the Gala started immediately after all the Shvatim died. That means that it was the grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu that were Mavakel Bris Milah. Right? This is what made them, what's it called, Yidden. And it says, what's it called, that even though the Jews in Egypt committed certain sins, right, that was only afterwards, as the Gullus got on, and they got farther and farther away from Yaakov Avinu, so the Shibud and all the Tzaris made them do sins. But right away, right before the Gaulish became, the beginning of the Gaulish wasn't so bad in the beginning. Why were they Mavakal Brismila? They were such Rishoyim. Right? Beyond that, it says that what's it called? That before the Shibud, right, that the Rabbanishim knew that even though they, some of them served Avodah Zorah in Mitzrayim, that was only because of the Shibud. And the Medrash says that. That when the Maluch by the Yamsuk said, Halalu of the Avodah Zorah, the Halalu of the Avodah Zorah, God's answer was, these did it willingly, the Egyptians, and the Jews pretty much were only affected because of the Shibud. Mashma, that before the Shibud, or at the beginning of the Shibud, they weren't of the Avodah Zorah. They were tzaddikim. So how could these tzaddikim, mimavakal brismila, stop mauling their children? So he says like this. The Lamaisa, they were tzaddikim, and they were even tzaddikim after the Shibud started, and they never stopped mauling their children. There's a difference, he says, between Bittul Brismila and Hafaras Brismila, which is the following. They had a Mesorah. They knew that God had told Avraham Avinu that they would have to be in Golus with the varying stages of Golus, being strangers, being slaves, being afflicted for 400 years. Okay? They didn't know exactly from that time how much would be slavery, how much would be affliction, how much would be strangers, but there'd be a period where they would be in Golus for 400 years. And they knew that it was coming, the slavery, the affliction was coming on them after Yaakov died, after their fathers died, the Shvatim. And they weren't sure how the Mitzrim would treat them. So, in this long Golus. So they came up with an Eitzah, that if we are different than the Egyptians, then they're probably going to hate us more. If we try to be like them as much as we can, then that naturally will make them more inclined to be friendly to us and not to look at us as something different that they're going to hate. So what they did is the following. They used to have a bris, and after the bris, they made it look like they still were Arayim. That's called Haforas, Mefer Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu. That Mefer Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu, that it says in Pirkei Avos, he explains, that you don't have a chelek l'olam haba, is if you did it because you're moish, you're disgusted with the bris. You don't want the bris. And if you could undo it, you'd undo it. So cosmetically undoing it shows that you totally hate bris mila, right? You don't want the mitzvah, that's what you lose your chelek l'olam haba. So the same thing with all the other things there. A mefer brisa shel Avraham Avinu is only one. Mevazes hamoados. It's not talking where a person is mechalel chol hamoed because he has a taiva or he has a money reason why he wants to do it. It's because he totally disregards and doesn't believe in chol hamoed. A person, that's called mechaleles hamoados. Mevazes hamoados. So all these things, or mevazes hakodshim, doesn't mean that you did something wrong with Kodshim and there was an excuse. Or there was a reason. It's just you don't hold that something's Kodesh, Bechlal. Those kinds of things where you show contempt for the mitzvah, then you lose your chelek l'olam haba. But here that wasn't the purpose. They wanted a Mimkayim Bris Mila. And they did it the Mesiris Nefesh. But they were afraid to look different than the Egyptians because they were afraid that would make the Egyptians hate them more. So after they were kind of mitzvah bris mila, right, they cosmetically made it look as if they didn't have a bris. Which, min haTorah, is fine. Min haTorah, if a person, what's it called, makes it look like he doesn't have a bris, but he actually had a bris mila, he's gemalit. It's only asmaris ayin that a person can't do that. The Rabbanon, we make him do it again. It's only rabbinic that he has to cosmetically fix it up so he looks mole. But min haTorah, you yotze the mitzvah, and it doesn't affect the mitzvah at all. If now you don't look like you're mole, right? You put skin and stretch the skin to make it look as if you're an oral. I mean, a Torah, it's not mevatel the mitzvah. The mitzvah is still there. That's what they did. So, the what's it called? He says they were mekayim that mitzvah, then mekayim and even the mesiras nefesh. But afterwards, they made it look cosmetically as if they weren't mol. So they'd look like the Egyptians, and they thought that that was maybe pikuach nefesh. Right? If we look more like the Egyptians, then they'll be friendlier to us. It won't be a sakana for us. And we'll, what's it called, we'll be able to live amongst them. Okay, and he explains that they didn't do any issue with that. And he explains why that's not the same thing as made for Bris or Shel Avraham Avinu, that you have no chelek at Olam Haba. And then he says the following. Omnam, hagam de be'etzem hamay shelo haya yisr klau, even though there was absolutely no prohibition that they transgressed by doing this. Im kol zeh, kvar hayu alulim bazeh lis'ar v'meshech hazman b'soch ha-mitzrim, v'gam lishtokah b'tumosam. But that would have caused them to assimilate amongst the Egyptians, because being physically not different made them more prone to mixing and assimilating with the Egyptians. Achrei shein hevdol nikar b'neihem, after there was no physical difference between them. V'zehu mamish l'hepach mi'ikra kavonis ha-mitzvah. And that goes against the spirit of the mitzvah of milah. One of the ideas behind the mitzvah of milah is that Jews should be different and separate from the nations of the world, even physically, bodily. Dehu kadesh Yisrael yu muvtolim min ha-mitzvim. The purpose of bris milah, even if it's only a tam ha-mitzvah, there are other tam for bris milah, but one of them is that Jews should be physically different than goyim. Medrash Rabbah Posik L'Riah Shmonecha told him, Mas Shem and Eino Misarvim HaMashkim, Af Yisrael Ein Misarvim B'nei Noach. And the Medrash, which we quote all the time, the Medrash says we're compared to oil and the nations of the world to water. Just like oil and water can't physically mix together, Klal Yisrael have to be separate from the nations of the world. And physically also. V'im Yisrael hoyim mekarvim atzmum chalil olahem, osa kodesh borech hoyim mechadish ha-hevdol al yedei zeh, shemechadish shina b'libo. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam created a safety mechanism. Whenever Jews do things that would be mevatel this difference between them and the goyim, that would prevent them from assimilating, the Ribbono Shel Olam puts hatred in the hearts of the goyim that they keep us separate, which is what Reb Chaim Volozhiner said. When we don't make kiddush and we don't sanctify ourselves and separate ourselves from the goyim that way, then the goyim makes avdala. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam sees to it that the goyim separate themselves from us. The chol zeh hoyah l'tovasan shel Yisrael kedei shelo yisarvu b'neihem, and that's why that pasuk that God made them hate us was what's it called, was put in the Tehillim that talks about all the good things the Ribbono Shel Olam did for us. This hatred, this anti-Semitism, was in the end good for us because it kept us from assimilating. V'chol zeh lo haya begeder onish klal. It wasn't we were being punished for being made for bris milah because we didn't do anything wrong. Api ha-Torah, there was nothing wrong. But just the whole concept of thinking that if you'll be more like the goy, you'll assimilate more, then you'll be safer, and he won't hate you, right, is a mistake. It wasn't a punishment, it was a shmirah. The worst thing for the Jew would be to assimilate. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, if you're doing things that will encourage assimilation, I'm going to do something to help you that will, what's it called, discourage assimilation. That was for the good of Klal Yisrael. Hare lehed yedezeh shechidish hasina haya letovasan shisharu am kodesh umuftal b'fnei atzman kidei shiruim liyigoyal vasov. In order they should be fit to be redeemed in the end, the Ribbono Shel Olam did them a favor and made the Egyptians hate them. Now that hatred, I think we explained once, but I'm not sure. I have a pshat in Halacha Lemoshe Misinai, Ace of Soneis Yaakov, that hatred does not mean... did we speak about this a few weeks ago? I don't remember now. No? Okay, so I'll speak about it now. I wasn't sure. Hatred does not mean what we think it means only. That people hate you and they want to do harm to you, whatever. That kind of hatred. The proof is what it says by Leah. It says, Vayeha es Rachel mi Leah. That Yaakov Avinu loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. Clearly, he loved Leah. He just loved Rachel more. Okay? Then the next pasuk says, Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. God saw that Leah was hated. Now, she wasn't hated. She was just loved less than Rachel. She wasn't hated. Sina is the opposite of Ava. Ava also doesn't necessarily mean love. That emotional love, right, of mamish loving somebody. Ava means a commonality, an affinity, a kesher. The word Ava in Gematria is echad. When you have a connection to something, then that's called love. That's the base of love, is a connection, an affinity, a commonality. You have something in common. So you love, people love themselves. You have to, l'riacha, kamocha. People have an affinity to themselves. Most people love themselves. If you don't love yourself, that's an aberration. But when most people don't love themselves, are more schizophrenic, and they don't have any connection to themselves. They consider themselves from the outside. Right? So they hate themselves as an object, not as themselves. But somebody who really feels himself loves himself because he's connected to himself. Whatever you're connected to, you have a commonality, an affinity, that's the basis of love. That explains why there is no mitzvah to love your parents. And there is no mitzvah to love your spouse. And there is no mitzvah to even love a Navi. Many people say that, well, it's because it's obvious, natural. People love their spouses. They love their parents. Those people obviously haven't been in this world too long or don't know too many people or have good parents and good spouses. But the sad fact is there are many people who don't love their parents and there are many people who don't love their spouse. So that's not an answer. Besides, the Rambam says clearly there is no mitzvah to love your parents. You have to respect them. You have to honor them. Obviously, it's a lot more respect and honor if you love them. But you're not mechuyev to love them. You're not mechuyev min haTorah to love your spouse. A man, mitarabonim, is chayev to love his wife. And then, she's not even chayev to love her husband. But if he loves her, then kamayim ponim haponim, she'll love him too. But he has to initiate that love. But there's no chiyuv min haTorah. Why not? But you do have to love a ger. You have to love a convert. And you have to love another Jew as a Jew, not necessarily as that person. You have to love your wife, too, as a fellow Jew. Or if she's a ger, as a ger. Right? But you don't have to love her as your wife. Similarly, the halach of loving another Jew, you don't have to love the person. The person could rub you the wrong way. Right? You really can't stand them as a person. But you have to love them as a Jew in the fact that they're Jewish, just like you. That much you have to love. Yeah?
What you mean by love?
Yeah, one second. Love is a feeling. Like I said, love, the basic is I feel a commonality, an affinity to that person.
Well, if you don't feel
it, then you have a chiyuv to feel that to another Jew and to a ger. You have a chiyuv because there is an affinity, right? That person is chayv in mitzvahs just like you, or he accepted mitzvahs just like you. He made himself like you. You have to acknowledge that commonality. You have to feel close to that person for that reason. Not any other reason, just for that reason. Right? So, and you have to love the Rabban Shalom, because all of those, there is a commonality, whether you like it or not. It's a fact. You have something in common with every other Jew. The same Torah and mitzvahs. So that, the Torah says, you have to acknowledge that. That's called the Ohat L'Reacha Kamocha. Acknowledge that commonality, and therefore that person is connected to you, and therefore just like you want for yourself good things, you should want for that person good things. because it's no different than you. They're connected to you. That's all you have to do. You don't have to like the person's personality. You have to like them as a Jew. The Mela, you have to like your spouse. You have to love your husband, right? What's it called? As another Jew, right? But you don't have to love him as your husband. You can love your parents as another Jew. Not as parents, not as who they are, but what they are. And not even what they are as parents, only what they are as Jews. Because the Torah can't command you to do something that has no, perhaps, no basis in fact. Now, it could be you have nothing in common with your spouse. Could be you got married because they had $1 million in the bank. It's the only reason you married them. Shaya. People do that. Or for other reasons. Could be they have nothing in common. And therefore, the Torah can't say, create a commonality and acknowledge it. The Torah can't be mechayev to create something that doesn't exist naturally. The Torah can tell you, develop and acknowledge a commonality that exists and go make it go beyond that. Right? Make it lead to the really emotional feelings of love that people have for another person. But it starts with a basis of feeling a connection, a commonality, an affinity, right, to somebody else. Making feeling that they're an extension, they're part of you. And that's called love. On the other hand, again, a parent, you may have nothing in common with your parents. It could be even genetically. You're a throwback to a recessive gene from two generations before. You could have red hair and they have black hair. It's possible. Right? Since it's possible that you have no connection to your parents, not ideologically, not philosophically, not emotionally, not even physically. Okay? So there's no chiyuv to love them. You have to respect them, you have to honor them, you have to, what's it called, but you don't have to, what's it called, love them. Same thing goes for a spouse. Masha Einkein, another Jew, there is a fact. You do have something in common, whether you like it or not. You have the same mitzvahs. A ger, you have something in common. You have something in common with God. He created you in his image. That's a fact. So the Torah says acknowledge that fact. Now, if Ava means a connection on the basic level of a chibur, then Sina means where there is a disconnection, where you're not connected. You don't have to hate the person, meaning that you have that emotion of hate. You don't feel connected to that person. That's called Sina. And as much as you could be more connected and you're less connected, that's called Sina. So when it says that he loved Rachel more than Leah, that means he had the capacity of feeling connected to his spouse on Rachel's level. And if on Leah he was disconnected, that's called Sina. Sina means pirud. Sina means separation. And therefore it says if somebody didn't talk to somebody for 3 days because of some reason that he had a taina on the person, just not talking for 3 days because you had a taina makes already a separation. That's called Sina. You're over the Yisr. Don't hate your neighbor. Hatred over here doesn't mean you really hate the guy, you know, and then curse him and then whatever else hatred means. It means that you've broken that connection. It's not the way it should be. It's separation. Separation is hatred. Therefore, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, Ace of Sonei Es Yaakov, doesn't mean that the Rabbanu Shem made it that Goyim should hate Jews. All Goyim go around with this terrible hatred of a Jew in his heart. Is that what it means? Be very fine Goyim. But the Rabbanu Shem made it that in the heart of a Goy, he never considers the Jew connected to him. He's separate. He's different. That's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's part of the nature of the way the Rabbanu Shem made the world. Memela, sometimes it doesn't have to, that dissociation doesn't have to lead to emotions that we call hatred. It's not necessary. Sometimes a person's a very fine person. He feels separated from the Jew, but it's not me. But he doesn't have to breach the emotions of hatred. Sometimes the emotions of hatred come. But it's so Neis Yaakov means the Rabbanu Shem made in the world that Goyim and Yidden, a Yid has a chiyuv to separate himself from the Goy, and the Goy always will never feel connected to the Jew. Yeah.
If a Goy never feels connected to a Yid, then how does Ger say
that? How does Ger say that? Ger, his neshama from the beginning, was the neshama that should have been a Jew. and he gets the neshama is changed when he becomes a ger, but potentially he was there from before too. Yeah. Huh? Okay, so we'll answer it again. Ger was potentially, it says that gerim are punished. They live hard lives sometimes because they delayed in converting. So the Chida asks, what do you mean they delayed in converting? A goy doesn't have to become a Jew. If he became a Jew, it's a very nice thing. What do you mean you were to punish him because he waited too long? Says, you see from here that every goy who eventually became a ger, his neshama from the very beginning was already a neshama that was supposed to become a Jew. There's something different about that neshama. Wasn't a regular regular.
He
does have a punishment for what he did with the bechira. It's because he needs kapara. Neshama didn't wake him up fast enough. Okay, in any case, he says, what's it called? So it comes out that Sina, that the Rabboni Shalom turned the hearts of the Egyptians against the Jews, and it doesn't mean necessarily, again, that in the beginning they hated them. It says, Vayakutsu, we had before in the Meshachachma, they considered them like kutsu. They didn't consider them, what's it called, part of them. He says, and that's what it means, forever alayach, v'erich misposesses b'domayach, v'omar loch b'domayach chayi, v'omar loch b'domayach chayi. It says it twice. With both of your bloods, you'll live twice. He says, what does it mean? So he says, what it means is the following. The first shot is, b'domayach chayi, means I saw you, that you were disgusting in the eyes of the Egyptians, like somebody covered with blood. You live with both bloods. When you decided to assimilate, then the blood that I made you look not something that the Egyptians wanted to have a connection to, that was life for you. Later, when you separated yourself from them by making Korban Pesach and by making Bris Milah, right, then you, what's it called, you live with that blood. The blood can either be the blood of the mitzvah of separating, Korban Pesach separating ideologically, and Bris Milah separating physically, or the blood where you're disgusting in the eyes of the goy. That's also a benefit. That's also the Tamaya Chai. The Zeu Shekofal HaPosik Dvorim V'Omer Loch B'Tamaya Chai Pirish Amarti Lecha Halo Yesh Lecha Eitza Tova Yosra Min Eitza HaKeduma Deloma Lecha Lios Chiyuscha Yedei HaYisurim U'Bizyon Lecha Beineyem. Right, in the end, you're going to remain not assimilated. You're like oil and water. You can't physically mix oil and water. It's going to be achieved no matter what. You have a nice way of doing it. You have a not so nice way of doing it. You can be forced not to assimilate by being hated in the eyes of the goyim, and again hated with the caveat that we said, or you can not have to come on to that hatred and separate yourself from the goyim. That's another medrash. The medrash says that we're an am levodod yishko. We're a nation that dwells apart. The word levodod doesn't mean isolated. It means insulated. Bidud is insulation. We're an am levodod yishko. We have to live insulated from the nations of the world. There has to be that surface tension. That's the marshal with the oil and the water. The oil floats on the water because there's a small, almost infinitesimal layer of surface tension that separates between the oil and the water. There's a separation. If you try to break that separation and you shake the oil into the water, what happens is that the pressure of the water pushes the oil to the top. It's the goyim. They're going to separate you out. The water's going to push you out. So you have two choices. You can float on top of the water, and then the water supports the oil, and the oil protects the water. Jews can coexist very nicely with Goyim if we stay separate. When you try to mix in to them, then what happens is they push you out eventually. And that's what the Medrash says. In Am Levodod Yishkon is a fact. The Rebbeinu Shem is going to preserve that any way he can. So if we do it willingly, like Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, we make Kiddush, then we'll read the pasuk, Vayishkon Yisrael Betach Badod. The Jewish people will dwell in security, insulated, separated from the Goy. We read that pasuk, it's in the Zos HaBracha, we read it on Simchas Torah. That's a nice, happy way of being separated from the nations of the world. And if we don't do it, then we're still going to be Badod. If we choose to assimilate, it's not going to work long term. It can help only temporarily, like the oil globules can be in the water temporarily. But very quickly, the water pressure pushes the oil to the surface. So we're going to still be Badod, but we're in a different pasuk. Eicha Yashva Badod. The Badod remains constant. But then we read that on Tisha B'Av, sitting on the floor, not on Simchas Torah. Different kind of pasuk. So we don't really have a choice. If we choose to be separate, then the separation will be very, very positive and a happy separation. If we don't choose to be separate, we're still going to be separate, but it'll be a very negative, hurtful separation. You have a choice. B'domayichayi can be that you're going to be nias, like you're covered with blood in the eyes of the goy, and that's why he'll separate from you. Or b'domayichayi, you can choose to mekayim bris milah and korban pesach and separate yourself from them willingly. Either way, both of them are for your sake, that you'll remain alive and not assimilated. But you can have this kind of domayich or that kind of domayich. That was what would happen in Beis HaGaula. Kshivdilu Yisrael Atzman Adidei Pesach Umila Kshiv, when the Jews, Taka, chose to separate, and they had Bris Mila, and they had Korban Pesach, what does it say? V'Hashem Nosen Eschein Ha'am Be'ene Mitzrayim. Now the Egyptians liked us. Overnight, all of a sudden, from being Vayakutsu, all of a sudden there's Chein. That's what the Rav Shem showed us. When it was necessary, when you didn't separate yourselves, then Vayakutsu. When you did finally separate yourselves, then Vashem Nosan Eschena. I don't have to use their Sina anymore as a safety measure. It's not necessary. They can love you. But you're separating yourself from them. You'll stay like the oil on top of the water. Zehu Mashon Roin Bechush. That's what we see in our Golas. Asher Begolas Ha'orech Hazeh. Medinas Hager or Medinas Romania, Asher Bechol Yom Misrabis Hasina, and the Sosefis Yoshim Yerushalayim. It says in Hungary, Romania. Okay, we see that this is the Sina that Goyim have for Jews gets greater and greater. Asher Lefiderech Hasechol VaHateva Tzorech Liyos Hasina Holech Esus Muhumis Maetes. According to all rational reasons, the more that you're amongst another nation, the more they should feel close to you. They should lose the reason for Sina. People hate things that are foreign. But if you've been there for years and years and years, you're not foreigners anymore. So the Sina should wear off. And it doesn't. It gets worse and worse. It should be Mismaetis Tommy. Kidera Kodover should be Tchila Haya Betok. For the Akhaka Cholechas the dollar. Like anything. It wears off. Right? Things get worse. Gets less. The Kena Hagolus Bitchiloso Hayatzorich Lios Hasina Yosher Gedola Me'Achaka. It would seem logically that the Sina Goyim have for us, the more we're there, the less Sina they should have. The Chomash Yisrael Me'Matim Be'Avdelo Shinosna Lehem Atarasena Makdosha Adi De'Kiyo Matar Vamitzus HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshev Sina Belibam Lefi Erech Tachlis HaMavukash Kidei She'Yashir Yisrael Mufdom. But the opposite is true. It's not a logical thing. The more the Rebbeinu Shem sees that we get closer to them, the more he makes them stay far away from us. Because in the end, the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to make sure that we remain separate. Well, Baruch Hashem, now he ends with an up note. Asher Nosem believe Amem Shalom, Yorum Hodo, Yosenu, Wasli Son, Rishoyim, Lishmar, Torasenu Atosha, Behem Mocha, Vayidei Kiyum HaTorah, Vanitzvah, Yisoh Sivchein, Shal Yisroel Beinayim. Because we live in a country, Hungary, Romania, where they let us keep the Torah, right? And the benevolent government lets us keep the Torah. This is only because of the censor. And therefore, if we're able to keep the Torah, then we'll be able to have good relations with the Goyim, because the Torah will separate us. The Rebbeinu Shlomo won't have to make them hate us. So in the end, in places where the Goyim let us keep the Torah, and we chose to do so, we had good relations with the Goyim. He says, he brings out a Medrash. The Medrash says in Psachim, "Bizar amin, krevo shechpatzu, mi garam lohem Yisrael shispaz rupeno umos, krevo shoyuchat eitzimoyim." What made the Rebbeinu Shlomo scatter us amongst the nations of the world? Because we wanted to be closer to them. The closer we want to be, the more the Rebbeinu Shlomo scatters us and makes us what's it called separate from the goyim. That's why the closer we want to get, the farther they want to be from us. Okay. He says that's why the nasan aschein ha'am, and the fact that they gave us their clothing. He says the more a person, what's it called? Biologically, you want to stay away from somebody that you consider contagious, sick, contagious. So, and you surely don't want to loan them your clothing. So when Klal Yisrael had to be in the eyes of the nations disgusting, so they surely kept their clothing away from us. Masha'en came, we don't have to be disgusting in their eyes, because we're separate anyway, because of the mitzvahs that we do. Then the Goyim can like us, and they even give us their clothing, because they don't consider us any more contagious, anything wrong with us, and therefore they don't have any problem of us wearing their clothing and giving it back to them, which we thought that we'd get it back when we came back from a 3-day stint in the desert. So that was the... That's what he says. So he says basically that anti-Semitism. There's been many, many studies made on anti-Semitism, and there's never a conclusion. Because no matter what reason you say, right, it doesn't make sense. The communists hate us because we're capitalists, and the capitalists hate us because we're communists. Goyim hate us because we are too arrogant. And then they hate us because we go like sheep to the slaughter. Whatever you pick, right, in every situation, that it would seem like this is the cause, then the opposite is also the cause. So why do they hate us? Right? Why do they hate us more than any other nation that's foreign to them? They don't hate each other, dafka. They hate each other when there's a reason. But by Yidden, there's no reason. The goyim that don't even know who we are will hate us. I must have said this story a few times in the past. I don't think I've said it recently. But I once wanted to surprise my wife and drive up to New York from Cleveland. It was the beginning of Ben Asman, and I got rishus to leave yeshiva early. Don't get any ideas. And I was married.
He's wearing the
cars. And,
he's wearing the cars.
Right. So my wife was already in New York and by her parents, and I was going to surprise her. I had a 1960-something Chevy, and I was to drive from Cleveland to New York. And I got as far as Ashtabula, Ohio. It was about an hour or two out of Cleveland, and the car overheated. And next thing I saw, it looked like a jet engine in the back, and it wouldn't go anymore. It like exploded. The whole engine exploded. So I was standing on the side of the road. It was Sunday morning, about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm waiting. I don't know what to do. There was no cell phones then, because it was in the middle of the highway. couldn't call it a tow, nothing. Finally, a tow truck, a pickup truck passes by. They go, this is redneck territory. And the guy stops, and he says, I'll take you into town, into Ashtabula, and you go to a gas station, and they'll come tow your car in or whatever and get it fixed. So he took me. He didn't let me sit in the cab. He made me sit in the back of the pickup truck. And I come to town, and the old guy, you know, from one of these Norman Rockwell paintings, right, sitting on a... you guys have no idea what that is. But anyway, but there's enough people here who have some idea what it is. They sitting in this rocking chair in his gas station, smoking a pipe, and he tells me my assistant is still asleep Sunday morning. He said, come wake him up with me. So I do stuff to wake up some guy Sunday morning. Right, that's the first thing he should see. So we wake him up, and they go out, and they tow the car in, and the guy is driving me, what's it called, and they look at the car, and he tells me it's a complete loss. The motor is gone, finished, the car's worth nothing. And the guy then looks at me, and he says, look, I'm not a Jew. I'm not trying to Jew you, but I'll give you $50 for the car. That's really all it's worth. So I said, look, I got to get to New York. I'm not sure what I want to do about the car. Let me think about it. He said, fine, you can leave it here. It won't charge you anything. What's it called? When you make up your mind, let us know. Meanwhile, he tells me that he's not a Jew. He's not trying to Jew me. So he obviously didn't know that I was a Jew, right? I don't know what I looked like to him, but he never saw a Jew in his life. But he knew that Jews try to Jew people. So nice, I realized it was not a great thing to tell them who I was or what I was. I had a pile of sparim in the back of the car for Ben Asmanim. So I had to leave some of them there. I couldn't take them all on the plane. So they see me taking these books out in this strange language. So I don't know what to say. And one of the kids says, oh, are you a Greek school teacher? I said, you got it right on the button. I'm a Greek school teacher. And these are my Greek books. And if you watch them for me, right, I'd be very grateful. So I left my Greek books there in this gas station. They mamash took care of the car. They didn't charge me. I checked it out. And it wasn't worth $50 or he was a chesed. And the guy drove me 90 miles away, just charged me for his gas, to Erie, Pennsylvania to get a plane. Fine guy and fine people. But Jews, they never saw a Jew in their life. But they know that a Jew is something negative. So it's not rational. The Rebbe Shalom put this, it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It has nothing to do with that. The guy was the nicest guy you can imagine. I said, I know if I told him I'm a Jew, he probably wouldn't believe me. Where's your horns? Right? But that's the Metzias. It's not a rational. There's been so many studies on anti-Semitism, and no one has come up with the reason. And that's it. It doesn't work. Everything you think you're going to do for the Goyim, right, to make it, this is what happens here in Eretz Yisrael. They think they'd get closer and closer to the Arabs, right, and there will be one happy nation. And the closer we try to get, the more Sina there is. That's the Metzius. So that's the Beis HaLevi. Same idea that anti-Semitism and the terrible situation of the Holocaust could have been precipitated by this idea that is, with the more close we try to get to the Goyim, and we'll see, after we finish the Netziv next week, we'll see what the matzav was in Europe in the 100 years before World War II, and we'll see where it was heading. And could be that this was part of the reason, part of the course.